in trying to rehab my foot is what broke it. So can't always trust doctors. It is what it is, and my trust is in God. I can only tell you that my trust is in God. Amen. And life is not always as we want it, and I trust the sovereign God that is mine and that I serve. And so we're going to find out this week, and we had a CT scan that was done on my entire foot, and then I see the ortho doctor Thursday. So, and then we'll have a full report for you. And I told Gary last night on Facebook that the reason why that I haven't made a big thing, and Jennifer and my children, of course, we were getting ready to go to the doctor, and that's my children, but this is after we had talked about it and sat down as a family. And we never do anything publicly until we first talk about it as a family. Amen? And so I need the support and help of my children. So we weren't trying to keep anything from anybody, and we definitely are not trying to exclude you, but I always try to get a center on what God is saying to me and what He is directing us to. Amen? And so I'm going to be sitting, amen, through this message. But if you were here Wednesday night, you know it doesn't affect my anointing. So, amen. Just affects my sweat. So you'll realize that my sweat is not my anointing. Amen. If you will, turn with me today. Now, my pride wants me to stand up. Amen. And so, but we're going to stay out of pride, and we're going to stay in wisdom. Amen. You can turn with me to here in Galatians. We're going to continue on with the series that we're doing, fruitfulness. And if God so wills me next Sunday, and that is the direction He's going, I will be ministering the message, a dead tree that produced fruit. A dead tree that produced fruit. And so, if God so wills, that's what I'm going to be ministering on Easter Sunday. And but how many are just glad? I sense something. If you will get me those flyers, Mother, I'm going to talk about those right now. I'm excited. I got some tremendous news. And if you were here for Vision Sunday, you heard that one of the things that we are... one of the things that we are tremendously excited about is that God has burdened me, has always burdened me, that for the Latino people. And I believe that God has called us to be a multicultural church. God has not called us to be a white church or a brown church or a black church. Now, if that's what God has called you to do, and if God's called somebody to do that, I don't question that. I think that the church is stronger when we're together than when we are apart. I don't want to pastor a white church. Amen? Because I'm not white. So, and I don't want to pastor a black church because I ain't black. And I don't want to pastor a brown church because I ain't brown. There is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, bond or free, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. And if we cannot get past that, then we are not really seeing the body of Christ, and we're really not seeing the kingdom of God. What we are trying to do is we're trying to create areas of safety and security. So we create parameters that we feel safe in. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying to you? Because you only hang with the people that make you feel comfortable. I mean, the last thing you want to do is hang with people that make you feel uncomfortable. Amen? I mean, if you struggle with it and don't think you're very smart, you don't hang with people who are intelligent. You know, if they're too smart because, you know, the way they talk, you know how they talk. They're always using those big words, and they're always, you know, when the math question's asked, they're always the first one who got their hand raised. I know that. I'm good for you. Amen? So because of that, we don't hang with people that make us feel uncomfortable. we don't associate and intertwine because it's easier to keep ourselves in our neighborhoods and keep our lives and keep our safe worlds, because if we keep that, then our life will remain safe. Well, we know that's not true. Because no matter how much we try to preserve our life, the more we constantly keep losing our liberties. So that can't be the answer. What the world is trying to give to us is not the answer. The answer has to be within the kingdom of Christ. It has to be within the teachings of Jesus. And if we can't see that, then we're missing something directly. I mean, Jesus caused a tremendous stir when he went to Samaria, stopped there at the well, and then asked the Samaritan woman to give him to drink. It was nothing but a prelude of what Jesus was saying to our society and to the church, to the future churches, that God is reaching out to everyone. Amen? So I'm excited because as I went to the pastor's prayer and I got there a little bit early, and David White, who's the pastor of Morningstar and who we have become friends with and one of my prayer partners, and as he was walking in, he said, "Man," he said, "Mark," he said, "man, I'm so glad you came early." He said, "I have a dilemma." He said, "I have somebody who is come." Edelina, come here, honey. Where are you at? Edelina, you're there? Come here for a second, would you? So you can help me. As I was coming in, he said, "You know, God has sent somebody my direction. And we wanted to have a Spanish-speaking service. We have this man who's coming from Argentina. He has a tremendous ministry in miracles and signs and wonders. He is an evangelist. And we want to have the service out here." He said, "But nobody's going to be able to find us out here." And so I thought, well, that's not a good thing, is it? And so he said, "Would you be willing to have it in your church?" Man, I didn't even have to hesitate. I mean, here we just got done with Vision Sunday talking about having a Spanish-speaking service. And boom, he offers to us this man coming all the way from Argentina. Has no reserve about it. Their church is going to help. We're going to have a great big service here on that Saturday night. But I brought Adelina up. If you haven't met Adelina, Mariquin and her husband Juan, who are new in the house with their children, Deborah and Tony, and his mother is up here visiting. And so if you haven't got a chance to meet them, you definitely need to. But I'm going to have her read this, and it's in Spanish. That's why I'm having her read this. And but this is going to be April 11th at 7 p.m. here at the church. Now, isn't that exciting news? Yeah. Amen? I mean, that to me is exciting news, that I believe this is God's timing to throw. You know, sometimes we think we have to have a master plan when God already has the plan. Amen? And if we just learn to stay out of the way and let God operate, he'll bring it to pass. So I'm going to have her read this, and that's going to be the announcement of this Spanish service. So would you like to read that?
You want me to read Spanish?
No, I want you to interpret it into English.
Can you do?
No, we don't know understand Spanish. I can do that. Annabella Villa. No, I can't. That's why nobody will understand it.
Okay, so you
just interpret it for us.
The preacher that's coming, his name is Aníbal Minsky.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming from different parts of America and other nations, taking the message of salvation, healing, and transforming the powerful name of Jesus Christ, and impairing his Holy Spirit through the conferences and services of healing and the anointing internationally. God has given Aníbal the blessing of doing miracles,
mm-hmm,
with his Holy Spirit. A lot of testimonies of healing, miracles, and salvations have occurred during his services while he is preaching the Word of God under his Holy Spirit. So he's coming to Cornerstone?
Yes. So he's coming to Cornerstone, and he's going to be here April the 11th. And so what I want as many as will to, and I have the flyers here. And thank you, Edelina. Amen. I put her on the spot, but hey, you got to be instant in season and out of season around here. Amen. So, and plus I'm getting her ready to do a lot of stuff. So, but anyways, the point of it is that I especially want our Spanish folks, because I want us to hit all the pockets possible. And this is going to be a Spanish speaking service. And if there's going to be interpretation, it'll be from Spanish to English. But he is going to be preaching in Spanish on that service. So it's going to be the opposite of what we've had here. Amen. And so and we are making efforts to move toward that. I'm so excited about this. Amen. And I know that you may not be yet, but I want you to be encouraged of what God is doing here to make this happen. How many is going to believe with us that God is going to? Now, we're going to have special prayer here at the church the week before. There's going to be one night we're going to have prayer here, one night at Fountains of Life, and then one night at Morningstar. We want to seed into the week beforehand, before this meeting happens. So we are looking for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're looking for salvation. We're looking for healings and miracles. You need to come, amen, because how many knows the Holy Spirit doesn't just speak Hispanic and doesn't just speak Chinese, but he speaks English too. So the Holy Spirit's going to be here in demonstration and in power. Amen? So I want us to really support this, to come out and to be a part. I think it's going to be exciting. Amen? I am really excited. Now, another thing too that is happening is that the next month there is a female preacher, a prophet, who is going to be in the area in the month of May. And so I'm looking forward to this also, because I'm believing God that we're going to have consecutive services, and I'm abandoning myself to this. I'm like, hey, you know what, God? I know this isn't according to my schedule, and we don't have this all mapped out, but how many know sometimes you just got to go with the flow, and you just got to let it happen and see what the Holy Ghost is going to do? And I believe it's a season and time. Why should we wait? Why should we tarry when we see that the harvest is ripe? And so it's time to thrust our sickles in, and it's time to reach out. And so not only are we doing that, we're getting ready and preparing to have interpreters so that those who don't understand English can sit in service and have these earphones that will help them to hear what the message is. And so we are committed to this ministry. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Nobody's going to be an expert at it. We're not experts. We're going to make mistakes. We're not going to be perfect at it. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to keep moving forward, because what is the most important thing here? Souls. Souls for the kingdom of God. To reach the community. Just like going out this summer, reaching the kids, going into the neighborhoods, having the skills camps. Are you listening to me? Moving and touching lives for the kingdom of God. And that is more important than anything else. Come on, turn to somebody and say, hey, look, I'm excited this morning. Come on, turn to them right now and tell them, I'm excited for Jesus Christ. Praise God. If you will, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Then I'm going to go to John chapter 15, and then 1 John. I'm going to go there next. Hallelujah. In John chapter, in Galatians 5:22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, everybody say the fruit of the Spirit. Everybody say Spirit. Come on, say it louder. Spirit. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruit of me, but the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is, look what he says, the fruit of the Spirit. It's not plural there. Look at it. It's singular, correct? He said the fruit of the Spirit is love. It is joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I want you to notice there that he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit produces this fruit. Here's an interesting thing. It is not a separate fruit. Some of you weren't listening yet. I said it's not separate fruit in the sense that it's there. The fruit of the Spirit is all inclusive of these things. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. It is all inclusive within the fruit of the Spirit. Look, this is not check off what you want and, you know, accept what you want and don't. Well, yeah, I'm cool with love and peace, but, you know, hey, faithfulness and patience, it's not my bag, man. You know. Really? That's not what this is all about. This is not all about in that sense. What it is the more that we are maturing in the Spirit. The context here is the more that I am maturing in the Spirit, going through the process, because this is a supernatural work. Turn to somebody and say, this is a supernatural work. Look, you can't teach. Look, you cannot teach. You can teach on it, but you cannot teach somebody into faithfulness. You can't teach them into the fruit of the Spirit, because it is not us. And we're going to learn that as you turn with me. Look with me in John chapter 15. John chapter 15 today. John chapter 15. Man, it's going to be wonderful when they design glasses that you can read with at the same time that you can see with. How many think that God will have somebody invent glasses that you can read with? They tell you can, but they're not telling you the truth. Because I have yet to find a pair of glasses you can read with and see with at the same time. That's my morning rant. Amen. Hey, give me a break. I broke my foot. Look at here, verse 1. He says, I am the vine, the first five verses here. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. The first five verses here, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Two things here I want you to see. I want you to see something. He said, I am the vine. Who is the vine? Jesus is the vine. Everybody say, Jesus is the vine. Come on, say it again. Jesus is the vine, but the Father is the husband. He is the one who dresses it, not Jesus. Jesus is not the one who dresses it. He is not the one who sets, and he is not the one who prunes. Jesus is not the one who prunes the vine. I mean the branches. He does not prune the branches. He says, every branch in me, now pay close attention here. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Look at the word bear there, B-A-R. It says B-A-R. And it has a double meaning there. The word bear there does not mean what you think it does. Amen? To bear means to carry up on, to sustain, okay, to hold. So here he is saying that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, look at here, he that beareth not fruit, what happens? He's taken away. Now, I want you to understand something here. This is not necessarily hell. If you'll see the spiritual context here, you'll see what I'm talking about. Is that when he is talking about bearing fruit, and he that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. I've seen this happen in the body of Christ over and over again. I've seen to where that individuals who do not bear fruit, amen, they lose their influence, and all of a sudden, you never see them. And we wonder, why is it that they're there and then they're not there? Why is it that my life is there and it's not there? Because I want you to understand something. Then just like Jesus says here, he says, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth forth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. Now I want you to understand today. Let's read on. Or I'm going to have to keep jerking my glasses off my face. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. There's the word abide. Circle that word abide. Amen. That word abide means to live, to dwell in. Means to live and to dwell in. How many of you live in your house? I don't have my glasses on, so I can't see your, I can't hear your shaking your head this morning. Amen. How many live in your house? How many dwell in your house? You abide there. And that word abide has a wide meaning in the sense that when somebody lives in a house, there is evidence that somebody, what? Lives in a house. How many knows if I go to your house this morning, before you got there, and I said, I'm coming to your house today. Right after church. I don't even want you to have time to prepare. Amen? How many would I find evidence that you have been in that house? Raise your hand. How many will I look, raise your hand, turn around and look. Amen. Some of you think that I meant you have dirty dishes in your sink and you threw your clothes on the floor because you were late coming to church this morning and you didn't hang them up. That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about that going into that house, there is evidence that is there. There is evidence because you can tell when somebody, see, I used to sell real estate and we used to put mock houses together. You know what a mock house is? A mock house is putting chairs and tables, putting a living room suit, putting a bedroom suit in. You don't really have sheets underneath. You just throw the comforter on top and put the pretty pillows on it. You put some pictures on the walls, but how many knows that it doesn't take very long? You have an ideal that this is how it can look, but how many knows you know nobody's living there? Number one is because it's too clean, right? Come on, somebody say amen. Jesus, right? Because there are evidences. There are things that tell me that I live in my house. If you come to my house, you can tell that we live in our house. No matter where you go, you know that we live there. Some of you may think that we're pack rats, and some of you may think that our house needs to be cleaner. But there's evidence that there is life that exists there. Are you hearing me? And see, there has to be evidence that life exists within us, that Christ is living and abiding within us. And I want you to understand today, he gives us one thing. And the evidence of that is, and we learn through that in just a second, but let's finish. And then we're going to go to 1 John. He said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Look how clear, how distinct he is. He said, I am the, ye are. I like that. Don't you like that? That he tells you, he says, look, I am the vine, you are the branches, here is how you live. Here is how I live through you. Look what he says. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, he that liveth, dwelleth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Turn with me to 1 John, if you will, this morning. 1 John. I think it's interesting here because he tells us very clearly here. He said, look, this is very simple. You don't have to become confused about this. You need to understand that without me, you cannot do anything. Come on, turn to somebody and say, without Jesus. Come on, without Jesus. Without the Holy Spirit, I can't do anything. Now turn back to them and ask this most important question this morning. Then why do I keep doing things that frustrate me? That I somehow have been taught this is how I'm going to produce fruit. Look, we are saying that to be successful and to be the gauge or whatever the unit is used to determine successful Christianity, I believe, is skewed. I believe that we keep thinking that if you have this or if you have that, then you must be successful as a believer. My whole contention is that the things that we have said is that which causes us to be successful, they are sometimes ingredients in it. But I want you to know that you are who you are is because Christ lives in you and you are living in Christ. And if you're not abiding in Him, if you're not living in Christ, if you are not living and existing within Him, and your life source is not Christ, amen? Look what he says here in 1 John. Amen. Come on, turn to somebody and say, hey, Pastor, you can still preach sitting down. Amen. I preached in my sleep. Prophesied in my sleep. Amen. Ask my wife. She's the only one that knows. Look here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell... Look here, the word dwell means to abide, live. Hereby know we that we abide in Him. This is how, that's the King James, this is how we know we are living, abiding in Christ. Is that what your Bible says? I said, is that what your Bible says? Your Bible says the same thing as my Bible says, even though you may have another interpretation, but your Bible is saying the same thing. This is how you know. How many wants to know? Amen. He says, this is how we know that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. Man, that's what, if you'll just hold on there for a second, flip over to the book of Ephesians here. I'm on a tear. Ephesians, look what it says here in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. Are you there? Come on, work those fingers this morning. Look what he says. He says, in whom, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed and were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were given the guarantee. Why? Look what he says here. He said, you were given and sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchase of possession unto the praise of His glory. Now, what does that word seal there means? Well, there is somebody here that I think would know that because we don't do it anymore nowadays. What we do is we use a pressure cooker to be able to seal cans. But how many knows that when your grandmother or your great-grandmother was putting up preserves, what she would do is she would put the preserves in the jar, and then what she would do is she would melt something on top of those preserves. What is it? Paraffin. She would put a degree of paraffin on that. Because if it was sealed, and she made sure that the sides of that paraffin would seal the sides of that, because you knew that when you opened that up, whether it was a week later or a month later or 6 months later or even a year later, you could open up and that paraffin, take it off. You didn't eat the paraffin. Amen. So you took it off. You would take and someone would have, they would put a hole in or a fork, and they would pull that out where it had sealed those preserves. And what happened was, is that when you stuck your finger, I know some of you are too refined to do that. You have to have a spoon. But see, I didn't have a problem taking my big old finger and sticking it down into those preserves and getting me a big dollop, amen, of preserves and putting it to my tongue. And when it touched my tongue, it was as fresh as the day that my grandmother made those preserves. Why? Because those preserves had been sealed by that paraffin. Nothing negative, nothing bad, nothing impure could get on the inside of it. Why? Because those preserves were sealed. Why has God given you the Holy Spirit? To seal your life. To give you as a guarantee that you're going to know, whether it's today or whether it's a year from now or whether it's 20 years from now, that when that day comes and you stand before the Father, you don't have to worry. Why? Because your life has been preserved by the Holy Spirit of the living God. Amen. I said amen. The problem is that some of us never take the top off to see what we got on the inside. Why do you think the word says taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. It's not just the Holy Spirit in me. It's not just to set me on a shelf to be an object to adore. No, ma'am. No, sir. What God has called is that when that time comes, it's not just that God has preserved your salvation, but God has preserved in you His salvation so that when the time comes, that no matter who comes knocking at your door, or when the opportunity comes that somebody needs some of that fruit that's preserved on the inside of you by the Spirit of God, that when you take that paraffin off, you can dip down and you can give to whoever will that needs the fruit that you have been preserved in your life. Amen? Well, here, Pastor, I thought that, you know, I had to work. I had to protect what I had. See, that's the problem. The problem is that exactly. Turn back with me to 1 John, if you will. How many is following me this morning? In 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, this is how we know that He dwells within us. In Romans, He tells us that His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a son of God. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying to you? See, if you're sitting there today and you say, well, I don't know if I'm saved, Pastor. Well, the Bible says in 1 John 5 and 13, if I'm not mistaken there, these things have I written unto you that you may know. That you may know that you have eternal life. And the Spirit that is within you bears witness with your spirit that you are a son of God. Look, this is not about a big guessing game. Well, you know, brother, you never know. You just do the best you can, follow the Ten Commandments, and just hope that when you get there, that St. Peter, when he's standing at those great pearly gates, that when you arrive there, he doesn't look at you and say, sorry. Really? You think that's what it's going to be like? No, He's giving you the confidence and giving you His Spirit now so that you may live and abide within His Spirit, so that you can produce the fruit of the Spirit, so that we can produce and give to those who are in need, who are hungry. God wants to produce in us His ability to where our leaf never fades, that our fruit always comes in season. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? God is trying to produce people who are mature, who are feeding and giving the fruit that is in their life on a continuous basis. But here we are working in a part-time mentality when God has a full-time ministry for us. Amen? So, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. So there is another testimony. How do I know? Because I've confessed Him as who? I confessed Him what? What does it say? Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. That's what Romans 10, 9 through 13 is about. If I confess with my mouth, believe in my heart that God hath what? Raised Christ from the dead. Thou shalt be, maybe possibly could be, it could be a great big chance, luck of it all. Amen. Throw those dice. Thou shalt be saved. Is that what the Bible says? No, it doesn't say that. It says if you will confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God has raised Christ from the dead, thou shalt be, thou shalt be, thou shalt be saved. There's no if, maybe, must, possibly. You are saved. Saved for what? Are you saved for or from? What are you saved for? You're saved for something more. And here's the thing that God keeps bringing back to me. But somebody is going to, and I realize there is a price being paid for the abundant life that is here. See, you can't always dictate the circumstances in your life. I know that some of you want to control the circumstances. Look, here's the biggest controller of them all sitting here. Because that is my biggest fear, that I would have to depend on somebody else. It's a sin in my life. I agree. Amen? It's a strength and it's a curse. Oh, don't sit there and look at me like you don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, I can't believe Pastor has that problem. I'm glad I don't. I'm glad I'm always open and vulnerable for everybody. And I let anybody look into my life because my life's an open book and I'm just transparent. Go ahead and look through me. Now that we've established that, how many knows what I'm talking about this morning? Man, you almost have to go through 40 days of fasting before you even ask anybody to borrow something. Because the last thing you'd want is to owe anybody. I know some of you can't even look me in the eye right now. Amen? Well, if I don't take care of myself, who's going to take care of me? If I don't do it, who's going to do it? How about that we begin to abide and live in Christ? Oh, come on. I'm not stopping here. We're going to be free because God is developing a community here. Not a bunch of people who are coming to church on Sunday morning and then going and living their other lives if that's what you want. There are multiple churches who are just fine with your tithe and you have in your own life. But see, you have come into a church with a pastor who is not interested in you just living your life. But for us to come together and create a community of believers who really care about one another, who really love one another, who really support one another, who are interested in each other. Amen? Even though some of you are mighty strange. Weird little people, some of you are. But see, aren't you glad God gave you a pastor who embraces your weirdness and your strangeness? Then what does that make me? That's the question I keep rolling over in my life, over and over again. But I don't have to look far. I just have to look at my family. Amen? And I want you to pray. Grayson left this morning to go to the hospital. He's getting his catheter at 5 o'clock in the morning. Wow. Amen? And so we can't be there. Number one is because of my foot. And it's going to happen so early in the morning. And we need to take care of the church and Pastor Karen and what she has. But I'm not even concerned about it. I'm not even concerned. He's going to have his J-tube removed. And they're going to put a button there so that cord is going to be gone. Because he has now discovered that. He thinks it's a chew toy. Yeah. So yeah. So, I love some of you. So, but that's being removed. He's getting a button, and then they're going to do the catheter. They have to go up, and so I'm really interested in what they're going to find. I'm hoping they're going to find new growth. I'm hoping that they're going to find that his heart has enlarged and that growth is there. Come on. Oh, I tell you, this is going to be a healing church. You think all these things are happening and the devil wants to take glory for it, but I am telling you that God's doing all of these things because God is going to cause an army of healers and miracle workers and people who are going to work in signs and wonders. God is going to cause this church to rise to the supernatural, to the power of Almighty God, to reach out, to lay hands on the sick, and to see them recovered. Don't think for a minute we're giving any glory to any filthy devil. He has no power, no place in our lives whatsoever. God has called you, and God has called you to a greater work. How do you know that? Because His Spirit lives and abides within you. He has sealed something precious in you, and it's not to be revealed on the day that you arrive in heaven, but God has placed this in you that it may be revealed now in your lives, in your neighborhoods, in your homes, on your job. God has done something extraordinary in your life. The enemy has come along. He has intimidated, lied to you, and told you that, look, there must be something wrong with your life with all of these things going on. And, of course, you know how undisciplined and how you're never really very faithful. And you never really do enough. And your life as a believer is never quite enough. He is a liar. I said he is a liar. He is a liar. How do you know that, Pastor? Because I raise children. Amen? I said I raise children who spill things, who create messes, who are not perfect, who say the wrong thing at the wrong time, who tend to be lazy, who tend to not be diligent, who you have to discipline, who you have to stay on to do their homework, who you have to cause and care for and watch over. That's why I know. And I know if the children in my house are the same, then so are the people of God. And that doesn't mean they're not my children. It doesn't mean I'm kicking them out. It doesn't mean that I don't believe in them. God believes in you. God knows you. And God is growing you to a place of productivity in your life. You cannot think for a second that this is your existence. God has much more for you. Let me tell you something. If God has to cause them. Look, if God can use Philip in the desert. And here's a eunuch in a carriage riding. Pulled by horses. Are you hearing me? And all of a sudden, here comes Philip running alongside. Hello? 1 minute he's there. The next minute he's there. Honey, I'm telling you that if you begin to open yourself up to the power of the Holy Spirit, we don't know what God is going to do. Last Sunday, here in the service, and I don't think she minds me telling because it is important for you to understand. But in the midst of the service, Kaylin came to her mom and father. And I told this to the church Wednesday night. And she said, as we were in service, she saw a gold ribbon that was moving through the church. And it was moving through certain individuals, through Minister Anthony and some other people. And the gold ribbon was, as I was praying, was moving around me. And then she saw a blue ribbon as the people were holding their hands. She saw that blue ribbon moving through the hands of the people. Are you hearing me? Those are supernatural signs and wonders. God is speaking to children. Amen. Are you hearing me? Somebody who's not given to fantasies, who's not given to unreasonable imaginations. She is probably my most solid grandchild, and I can always depend on her. She's one of the hardest workers and one of the most solid, dependable people that her mom can always depend on. She's there. She's solid. I get her. I know who she is. And even though she may be quiet, there is a powerful anointing in her life. And I know that God is using her. And when it comes from a 13-year-old, are you listening to me? And when it's coming from somebody who's not expecting, all of a sudden they see a supernatural wonder. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That means that God is at work in our lives. You didn't see it, but was it happening at that same time? Yes, it's happening. God is doing something. You think you're sitting in just another church, but you're not. The Holy Ghost is doing something on the inside of you right now. He's creating surgery. He's doing some corrective work while the anointed word is being preached into your life. God is doing something supernatural in you right now. The power of God is doing something in you right now. Woo! Amen. We're waiting for something. We're waiting for a feeling. Well, I could tell God was doing something. I could feel it. Well, I didn't know anything was going on. I mean, I felt the power of God. But I was like, why can't I see the ribbons, God? How about that? But see, not just more than 4 weeks ago, I was in a prayer meeting and the prophetic anointing came upon me. And I began to prophesy and all this. This is when all this stuff began to happen to me. Boom, 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 boom. And I began to prophesy. I had not felt this anointing prophetically in decades. As I was prophetically speaking, and when I finished, one of the brothers looked at me and he said, Brother, he said, you have a gold flake on your cheek. And then the brothers gathered around and said, it is. Brother, there's a gold flake on your cheek. Well, man, I'm like, I'm running. I'm going to go see this gold flake. By the time I got there, whether I was running too fast, by the time I got there, the gold flake had disappeared. You say, why, Pastor? I don't know why. I just know that was the second thing that happened. And then the other night when I was asleep, I'm telling you these things because I want you to understand that signs and wonders are not always easily understood. What is God saying to us? The other night, as I was laying in my bed, Karen was asleep, and all of a sudden I looked to the right of me in the ensuite in our bedroom. I saw a cylinder of energy, of light, that was in the ensuite, and it moved out. And when I leaned up and looked at it, it began to move towards me. I didn't know it at first, you know, because I felt this power, and I raised up my head and I said the blood, and it stopped right where Karen was sleeping on her side. And I said, take her, don't take me. You know. No. I have more to do. And I was looking, and I'm doing one of these things. I'm going, you know, is this that? Is it me? And here the cylinder was suspended, and the energy of it just kept moving around and around. And it was just like total peace in the bedroom. And Karen woke up, and she looked at me, and she said, what are you doing? I said, do you see that? Do you see that over there? And so she turned around, she looked, and she says, you're just dreaming. Go back to sleep. So she laid down. She laid down, and I looked, and it never moved. It stayed right there. And so I stayed, and I watched it to see what was going to happen. I was like, oh, man, let a voice come out of it. You know, something happened here, but it just kept moving, not in a fast way, but light. And it wasn't brilliant light. It was light that was on the inside of the cylinder. And the cylinder moved towards the ensuite, went into the bathroom, and it disappeared. And the other night, I saw it for the second time. And God has spoken to me out of, and I'll never, and I remember this because I sat with Robin and Junior. We were having dinner, Robin and Junior Galloway. I know that some of you don't think they're still here at the church, but they are. Amen. I still pastor people who are not here every Sunday. Are you listening to me? Are you hearing me? Amen. There's other people that we pastor. And as I was sitting telling them, wow, Robin just shocked me. And she looked at me, she said, Pastor, she said, that's the turnaround, the supernatural turnaround that God is causing in your life and in this church. God is creating a turnaround in your life. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me today? See, I'm not paying attention to the natural because the natural will lie to you. Are you hearing me? I said the natural will lie to you. There's not everything I control. See, I can't control my circumstances always. I can't control everything that happens to me because there's too many people in my life, the environment that I live in, the things that I have to face, the genetics in my body. I can't do everything about every circumstance. But what I do have control over is how I approach and how I deal and how I respond to the circumstances that comes to my life. I'm either going to fall into and put my head in the sand. Either I'm going to run and hide in a closet someplace. Either I'm going to think that if I just had a cabin in the woods or a vacation that I need in my life, or I'm going to realize that God is doing something in my life, that God is really the one that's in control. And this which was meant for my evil, that which was meant for your evil, that you think that there is no fruitfulness that's going to come. But I am saying that some of the things that are going on in our life, it's not the enemy, but it's the God that we serve who is dressed his vineyard, and he is pruning some things in our lives. What we need to realize that pruning is not punishment. Are you hearing me? For what's the purpose of pruning, Pastor? To bring forth more fruit. Well, I don't like to be pruned. That's why you're not the vine dresser. Amen? Let me ask you something. The last time you corrected one of your children, did they reach out, take your hand and say, thank you, Rick. Dad, I really appreciate this punishment in my, I don't want to use the word punishment, this corrective adjustment that you have brought to my life. Dad, I'm so appreciative of what you're doing. No, if they were like my kids, they grabbed their little stuffed animal, ran into the room, you know, threw themselves on the bed and said, I hate you. This isn't fair. I don't like this. Are you hearing me? But how many knows the thing that when my children have grown older and they have come to me and they have said to me, Dad, I thank you that you didn't let me take shortcuts. Dad, I'm glad that you kept that out of my life. Dad, I'm glad that you spoke to that thing and made me aware of it. And because of it, I'm a better man. I'm a better daughter. I'm a better son or daughter in your family. Why? Because you took time as a father to prune those things in my life. Look, guys, I am saying to you something that you need to take a hold of this morning. The Spirit of God is at work in your life. Some of the things that are being cut from your life, some of the things that are being dealt with, it is God pruning your life. Why? Because God wants to bring growth to your life. God wants to bring and produce more fruit in your life. But if He doesn't cut some of those dead things out of your life, all they're going to do is continue to suck the life out of you. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying to you? Good preaching, Pastor. Thank you. I want you to hear a couple things. Because I'm quitting. I'm stopping here. Because I'm sweating too much. How can I sweat and sit in a chair? It's not right. The people on Wednesday didn't make me sweat, but you guys are. Something's wrong. Look here what it says. I want you to hear this. A couple of thoughts that I had wrote down. The principle of reproduction in our life. The life of the vine is supplied to the branches and reproduces itself through the branches in the form of fruit. God reproducing Himself in you through what? Through love, joy, peace. It's one fruit, but it just has different manifestations. Turn to somebody and say, one spirit, one fruit, but different manifestations. Because whatever tree you are the tree of the fruit of the Spirit. You're not a peace tree. You're not a love tree. No, that's not what it is, because you're not the tree. You are the fruit that is being born on the tree, that is bearing the fruit. Are you hearing me? God is trying to reproduce Himself in you, and God reproduces that fruit in you because He knows that when you need it and others need it, He reproduces that fruit so that you're able to have that at ready to give and to supply to those who have need of it. You're not called here so that you can stand around and just bask in the sun all your life. We're here to reproduce Christ in us so that we can reproduce it and give to a world that is hungry. Do you hear what I'm saying? They don't even know what they want, but you have what they need. Amen? The fruit of the Spirit is produced in the believer, not by the believer. So if you're taking notes, it's produced in you, not by you. Quit trying to produce it. You can't produce it. You can't produce love. You've got to respond to it. How, Pastor? Well, because you will have, if that is an area that God is trying to mature in you, then I am just guessing. This is just a big guess. I'm going to close my eye and I'm going to throw the dart, okay? I'm guessing here that if you have a problem with patience, I'm saying if you have a problem with self-control, then I'm assuming that God is going to prune those areas in your life so that He can produce it. So I'm figuring that if God is trying to produce love in you, then I'm saying that probably, big guess here, there's probably going to be a deluge of people coming through your life that are unlovable. Jerry Sebastian's easy to love. She's sweet. Lori. Lori's not here. Lori in the back. Now, if I don't mention your name, it's not because I don't think you're lovable, okay? But Lori Robertson. I mean, who can hate Lori? I mean, if you got a problem with Lori, you got a real serious problem. You need to come up here for deliverance. Amen? Miss Rachel, come on. Seriously? I know her kids, like, sometimes, well, she gets on my nerves. Well, she's your mother. She's supposed to. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? But you know there's people in your life right now. You grit your teeth every time you see them walking towards you. Oh. Amen? You think you're smiling, but you're not. You got that. That's not a smile. That's like, oh, Lord, heavy gray. That's not real. What is God doing in us? See, even in that sense, let me even switch this up a little bit and tell you. It's not even strangers. The majority of times, it's your own family. And I was pointing to Sarah, but Sarah wasn't talking to you. It's our own children. Amen? We think that it wouldn't, but it does. How many of your children have taught you to really love? Raise your hands. Come on. Amen? But how many of you have wanted to choke them? You could somehow legally do it, and you know, you've said it. Oh, if I could choke you out right now, I would. You know, it's the ones too. You know, it's the ones that got that motor mouth. You know, just can't be quiet, and they're always the ones who are always asking why, why. I'm like, that needs to be taken out of the English language. We don't ask why in my house. You do it. Because you ain't old enough. You don't even make money. You don't even pay taxes. You don't get to ask why. You just get to do. But how many knows? It is those. It's not the compliant ones. It's not the easy. Zechariah, he's easy to love, man. He's always cuddling and hugging and loving. And sure, he's not perfect, but he's easy to love. He's lovable. But see, that's great. But see, if that's all you can love is the easy ones, your love is not going to be deep. It's not going to be wide. It's going to be narrow. And God don't want you to be narrow. He doesn't want you to be so narrow you could look through a keyhole with both of your eyes. And some of you are narrow in your thinking. Not one amen. But God is trying to reproduce something in us. And He put His Holy Spirit in us. Why? Because Mary, He knows that you're not capable within yourself. He knows, Betty, we don't have the ability. Because if it's left to our demise, if it's left to our means, we will mess it up. But He put His Holy Spirit within me to reproduce the fruit that I need in my life to be like Him. And He realized, and we are realizing, that the secret, if you don't get anything else today, is that the key is through relationship. It is abiding and living within Him. How, Pastor? How do I do that? Well, because you've got to have a beginning. You have to have a beginning to relationship. I heard, I think it was Billy Graham that said it. I think it was. And they asked him, and it was a surprising answer because a lot of people didn't expect him. They thought he was going to say, I wish I could have had more crusades. I wish I could have done this. I wish I could have went to this country, that country. You know what he said his biggest regret was? He said his biggest regret was he should have prayed more. And talked less. Wow. He said, I wish that I would have prayed more. Why? Because he realized, as you do realize, that what it counts, and I was just talking to Mother just the other day about this, you're going to find the thing that really counts. It's not how much money you make. How much your coffers are filled. No matter what you have sitting in the driveway. Because I remember the hoopty bills that used to set in our driveway. Amen. I remember the junk cars that you had to 1 foot out and get it going so you could pop the clutch so you could get it started. Amen. Drove cars that the gas gauge didn't work. Amen. That every time you went around the block, you had to put another quart of oil in. Amen. You always had to carry a gallon of water in the back because of the radiator. Amen. Was leaking water and you couldn't find out what it was. And how many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. We lived in a house so small you could stand at the entrance of the apartment and look all the way back to the bathroom. Amen. Three steps, you're in the bathroom from the top of our stairs to it would have been like six steps for you, but it was three steps from me. Amen. How many hears what I'm saying to you? I remember those days of eating hot dogs and macaroni and cheese every day. But the one thing that stays the constant that doesn't decrease in me but increases is my desire to abide in Christ. And you think the difficulties and the circumstances of your life, they're unfair and it's not right. And I just wish that life was easier. But I'm saying to you is you need to stop and maybe consider, is God pruning some things in you to produce in you a better, greater quality, a more of Him? It's not a peace tree, a joy tree, a love tree. It's the Spirit tree. The fruit of the Spirit. And it's manifested in multiple ways. How many would say to me today, Pastor, I realize this year, more than ever before, God is pruning some things in my life. But if you know that, but you resent it, the work's not finished. It's when you embrace the pruning, embrace what God's doing in your life, because you know that God's trying to produce something better in you. Amen? Amen. Stand with me if you would. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Come on, let's just close our eyes. Let's just wait on the Holy Spirit just for a couple minutes.